Welcome to Flower Farmer Forum, the podcast where growing and selling cut flowers isn't just a dream, it's a reality. With over 100,000 downloads, this is your go-to spot for everything you need to know about turning blooms into bucks. Whether you're looking for a little bit of extra cash or dreaming of scaling up to a full-fledged flower empire, we've got you covered. I'm your host, Liz Fidler, owner and operator of Sunny Mary Meadow Flower Farm in Minnesota. In just 5 years, I went from modest beginnings with $7,000 in sales to flourishing $200,000 operation, and I'm here to tell you it's absolutely possible. But remember, peddling perishable products requires careful planning and thoughtful intention. So let's roll up our sleeves and dive in. Ready to bloom and grow? Let's get started. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum podcast. I'm your host, Liz Fidler-Mergen, and today we are going to talk about SEO optimization. And I know that so many of you are listening because you had this dream of turning your garden into money, right? You wanted to grow your cut flowers and, you know, have a little side hustle, have a little extra cash, maybe turn it into a profitable business. But a lot of these episodes that we break down on our podcast is showing you the business side, because if you are not selling your flowers and you're just growing your flowers, then you don't have a business, you have a hobby. So Brandon, hello, please introduce yourself and let's share a little bit about SEO optimization. So welcome. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to helping tap into SEO and getting some of that free traffic from Google.
Yes, exactly. So Brandon is, and I'm going to just read his bio off. So he's the founder of SEO Optimizers, which is a digital marketing company that he's been running since 2007. So nearly 20 years. And he specializes in helping small and medium-sized businesses increase their online visibility and drive traffic that converts into clients, sales, and leads. So he's a strong advocate for guest podcasting, as that is a powerful yet underutilized marketing tool. I know that myself, as I've been, I call it OPP, other people's platforms, right? When you can maximize your guest list there. So having been a guest on 300 plus podcasts, he's mastered the art of leveraging these appearances to build authority, improve SEO, create repurposable content for blogs, social media, email marketing, and ultimately drive business growth. So Brandon's insights have been featured in Yahoo, Entrepreneur, Huffington Post, and other top publications. So SEO, marketing strategy, podcast marketing, helping businesses expand their reach and establish themselves as industry leaders in the digital space, which the majority of my listeners are probably like, I don't want to go on a podcast. I don't want to do that. How is that helpful to me? But as I've explained to them, it's all a little bit interconnected and how people find you and how people find your products. So let's get into SEO optimization.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah. They don't have to be on podcasts. That's just one way, but
yes,
there are tons of other strategies out there that don't require you to get on camera, because I know it's tough for people to get on camera. But once you do it, you realize how easy it is. It's just getting over that hurdle and just doing it that first time and then realizing, hey, it's not that bad. It's beyond the company and it just helps build trust and credibility.
So let's talk about just SEO optimization. What is that? What does it stand for? And how can people utilize it with their website?
SEO is search engine optimization, which means ranking websites on search engines, whether you're searching on Google or YouTube or Amazon or Yelp or wherever you're searching. There's ways to optimize and make you rank higher and try to just tap into that free traffic that search engines are giving out. You could run paid ads. Most of those platforms have ads at the top. Those are all pay-per-click usually, which it's okay in the short run, but in the long run, you don't want to always have to rely on those ads, because each one is going to cost you, could be a couple dollars per click. I've seen $100 for one click. It'd be quite expensive, but right below that is the free results, and we want to get you in those free results. The way Google works is it's not just websites when you're searching on Google. Google kind of runs the show, even though there's AI and all these platforms, but Google still dominates. And when you search on Google, there's 10 websites that show up organically, but also there's images. Best practice is you want to optimize all your images by naming them with descriptive words before you upload the file. So if you have an image and it's named image001.jpg and it's a picture of somebody gardening, you should probably name it gardening. And if it's with sunflowers, sunflowers, and describing what that image is, because Google and all these platforms struggle with images, but they can read file names. And that's one thing that the more easy you make it for the search engines, the more they're going to reward you with more traffic, because they're going to better understand what that page is about, what that image is about. If you're a local business, you can get up on Google Business Profile, on Google Maps. That's another free piece of real estate you could take up. If you have videos, you could put those videos up on YouTube because Google will show YouTube videos a lot of times in the search results. That's another free piece of real estate that you could take up on that first page of Google. And just trying to maximize free traffic is really what SEO is all about.
Something that I've really shifted on my website is realizing what are people typing that I want to show up in, right? And that would be wedding florist in central Minnesota, something like that. I have my Google map on my website, but I realized about a month ago that there's nowhere on there that it says, it doesn't say it again anywhere. It doesn't, so how do I get that to show up? So how would if a business is saying, okay, what words do I want to show up? How do you do that?
For Google Business Profile or Google Maps, you want to fill out as much information as possible. They say write 500 words, write 500 words of text about the business. If you write 100 words, you're missing out on 400 words of keywords that you could potentially put in there of different cities that you service, different flowers, different types of events, special events, parties, bar mitzvahs, weddings. You don't want to just hit one keyword. You want to try to tap into as many as possible. And that's where you could do keyword research using tools like the Google Keyword Planner. It's a free tool from Google that will show you how many people actually search for that keyword. That way you can figure out, should I search for wedding, like, because singular and plural will have a different amount of monthly searches. So someone searching for wedding flower versus what wedding flowers, each one is going to get different search volume. And one might have significantly more. Like one of my clients, they're a personal injury law firm and they want to rank for personal injury lawyers, plural. That one gets 20,000 searches every single month, but personal injury lawyer singular gets 200,000 searches. So doing the keyword research and figuring out which one's going to get the most search volume and focusing on that, and then sprinkling in those other ones throughout that content, throughout your pages on your website or Google Business Profile, or if you're trying to rank higher on Yelp, filling all that out, or YouTube, if you're putting videos up on YouTube, writing descriptions that have keywords in it, and just anywhere that you could put text is going to help your rankings.
So I just had an idea of something that I feel like would be really helpful. How would you like to look at a page on my website with me and just in real time give, just really surface level advice on there of what you think that we should change? Have you ever done anything like that on a podcast?
Yeah, we could do it.
All right. So I just put it in the chat and I haven't pushed this live yet. So you're one of the first people to see this web page. But I've shared this a lot. I am building a event space on my flower farm. It's called the Bloom Room. So this is the link to the Bloom Room. And we haven't pushed it live yet, but I'm just wondering, what I want is when people Google place to have a wedding shower in central Minnesota, place to have a bridal shower, place to have a rehearsal dinner, something like that. That's probably what people are Googling, trying to get it to show up. So I'm wondering, I feel like I don't have enough words on the pages to get this to show up. How do I do that?
Well, the first step is you gotta make pages for all those that you just mentioned. So anything that you want to rank for needs to have its own page. So the more pages you have, the more keywords you could target. So if you go back to like gardening, if you have a page about sunflowers, if you have a page about lilies, if you have a page about all the different flowers, then you're gonna be able to rank for each one. Because if you don't have a page about that, it's really tough to rank on Google. The more pages you have that are hyper focused on just one keyword set, the more relevant you become to that search and the more likely Google is to show you. And a lot of people just make kind of one page websites that are really long and they look good visually, but it really limits you because each page on your website can only really target about 3 to 5 words. After that, it loses relevancy. And the more pages you have means more keywords. That's one of the most important things that a lot of businesses or websites don't do is just expand on everything. Like if you're a dentist, don't just have a page that says, I'm a dentist and list out all your services. That's fine, but you need a page about teeth cleaning, about root canals, about emergency dental work, because somebody searching for teeth cleaning doesn't care about emergency dental work and vice versa. And having pages that target those specific keywords makes you hyper relevant. But then you have to add text on every single page. Google feeds off text. The more text you have, just kind of been saying a lot, but the more text you put on each page on your website, the happier the search engines will be. And usually you want to put a couple hundred words. The more you can put, the better. Nowadays, the way it works is Google said you could actually use AI to help you write content. They don't care who writes the content anymore as long as you edit it, because AI is not accurate at all and it'll make up AI hallucinations. And if you just copy and paste it, not really the best. Google said, we don't care if you do that. It just has to be accurate and helpful for the reader. So that's one way you could get more content, because in the past, I'd have to pay writers, and I still have writers. I still prefer to use humans. It can be very expensive if you're trying to make a page for every single flower out there. That's a lot of content that you're gonna have to pay for, but the more you could do, the better.
Yeah, I have, well, actually, I have three websites. One is my personal, LizFidlerMorgan.com, for my speaking, and I'm an author that does a lot of speaking. And so there's that page. And then I have SunnyMaryMeadow.com, which is my flower farm. And then I have SunnyMaryMeadowCoaching.com, which is essentially teaching other people how to run a business like my flower farm, which is what this is. And I have figured this out, at least somewhat surface level, I think. My website gets somewhere between 12 and 15,000 views every month. And it's because every single podcast episode gets made into a blog post. And, you know, I've figured out, okay, that's what we need to continue doing. However, I haven't done it yet, but it's on my to-do list for the month of April to make 15 to 20 blog posts that are relevant for my flower farm. And you might think, well, how do I do that? You know, but one can be on fresh cut flower care, or what to know before you come to a U-pick at the farm, or, you know, color trends, or, you know, information to have before meeting with a wedding florist, or, you know, just frequently asked questions, things like that. But making them a blog post that is 500 words that could be in a directory, stuff that my customers are actually going to care about. Because me, as a cut flower farm, what I found was I started giving gardening tips, but I'm trying to sell the flowers. I'm not trying to, you know, and so that's why I ended up creating this podcast and this sister business, because it was two entirely different audiences. The people that wanted to buy flowers from me, they want to buy flowers from me because they don't want to grow their own. They don't care about gardening, you know, necessarily. But the people that cared about gardening and wanting that information, they're not going to buy the flowers from me because they're going to grow their own. And so I ended up realizing, you know, after trying to keep them together, keep it one thing, they separated it off. So I had SunnyMaryMeadow.com and SunnyMaryMeadowCoaching.com. But that's where I think realizing, you know, I think a lot of retail businesses, you know, what do I make these blog posts about? What do I make these pages about? How do I get it to show up?
Yep, that's where you gotta do the keyword research and use tools like the Google Keyword Planner and figure out how many people are using or what keywords are people searching for and make that the main focus of those blog posts or that topic. But then using the Google Keyword Planner, they're gonna give you hundreds of other related keywords that you could sprinkle into that content that's all related. Because going back to that lawyer example, the singular version got 200,000 searches. The plural got 20,000 searches. You still want that 20,000 searches because that's
Yeah.
a lot of people. So you want to make the main focus on the one that gets the most search volume, and then sprinkle in throughout that text all those other words and those variations. And basically, you want to try to you also go to Google, search for your keyword, and in Google, this section will pop up saying people also ask, and these are all high search volume phrases that people commonly ask. If you could incorporate those into that content and then answer them into your own perspective, you'll show up in that. People also ask in voice search and Siri and Alexa and AI search, because all those are questions and answers. A lot of those are just questions. People are talking into their phones or asking questions. But if you want to show up for those questions, you need to make sure those are on that page in that content. The more content, the better. So if you want to figure out how much text you need to write, you need to, same thing, go to Google, search your keywords, and search for that keyword that you want to rank for, and open up all those websites on that first page of Google that are in the organic, the free listings, not the ads, and look at how much text everyone is writing. And you need to do more than your competition. If everyone's writing 500 words, you should write 600 words. If everyone's writing 5,000 words, you should write 5,100 words. So try and do a little bit more than the competition. You don't want to go crazy and overdo it, but basically, we got to figure out what your competition's done, how much SEO have they done, and how can we do a better job of it.
Yeah. So one thing that I learned when I went to PodFest, and I think, you know, it's going to be funny because the people that are listening to this, you know, I get it. You guys are flower farmers. You're like, I don't care about this stuff. I know you don't, but you should. And this is why you put all this work into marketing and taking the pretty pictures. But this is a whole other type of marketing that you are missing out on. And so, again, like I said, what I plan to do for the month of April is, you know, 15 to 20 blog posts on things that are relevant more toward my business. Because you can go to this website and you can find where you buy things, but how about a whole blog post on ideas for throwing a bridal shower, ideas for whatever it might be, or why flowers are such a great team building event because I'm trying to get businesses to come and pay for all their employees to build a flower arrangement or something like that as a team building event and what they can learn from it. But my plan also to go a step even further is every single one of those blog posts, because I have a podcast, I'm comfortable in front of the camera, it's relatively easy for me, is to record even a 5-minute video and putting it on YouTube, explaining the same thing, and then being able to embed that link on there because YouTube is a search engine, essentially.
Yeah, anywhere where you could search. Oh, there's Amazon, YouTube, ChatGPT, Perplexity, Bing, DuckDuckGo, Yelp, TripAdvisor. Those are all platforms where you could search and optimize your listing to show up higher or whatever platform it's on. As long as there's a way to search, ways to optimize for that and try to just tap into that more traffic, like Pinterest. It's probably huge for everybody in here. That one's the one where same thing, optimize those images. Put those keywords into the file names before you upload it to Pinterest or Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or YouTube, the file name. All those are really important to have those descriptive words that describe what keywords that content is about.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, ultimately, it's how do you get your business, your clothing boutique, your bakery, your candle company, your flower farm to show up before other people's flower farms show up, right? How to be the first one on there when someone searches that first thing in those additional pages. And hopefully, once they get on your website, to then convert them to your email list, then convert them to customers. But until they find you, we spend so much time making it really fascinates me how I think everyone listening probably spends a couple hours scrolling through Instagram for inspiration and calling it marketing, like, oh, I'll remake this video. And then they save it and then they never do it. And they spend time doing that when really now we're giving them like, hey, here's a whole other idea that you could do and you do it once. And what I love about SEO is whether it's Pinterest or a podcast or a blog post, it continues to work for you because people will search that and then they'll find something that you put all this work into a year ago, and it's continuing to drive traffic.
Yep, it just keeps trickling in. And that's the nice thing is set that foundation, especially for Pinterest, because you don't have to keep reposting the same things. Whereas social media, it's going to get lost really quick on other platforms. But website, same thing, like your content on your blog, it's always going to be there. And as long as you just update it, if it's a 10-year-old blog post that you wrote and everything's still accurate, you just go in there and just make a couple of changes and Google sees that somebody re-edited it or updated it. And that's going to get to Google say, all right, now this is new content because Google loves fresh content. So if you have old content, Google might say, all right, we don't think it's the most relevant anymore. But you're like, hey, I spent all this time creating it and it's still accurate. Maybe I just need to change a couple words around and just make it more relevant to 2020, whatever year you're in.
People want information. They want to learn more about you. They want you to be established as an expert, whatever it might be. Like I said, I hopefully by the time this episode comes out, if you go on my website, you'll see all these different blog posts that are more relevant to this business itself. But even a blog post in a video talking about, seasonal wedding flowers. Hey, if I was a bride getting married in June, this is what you should look for. Not these, because they're going to cost you way more money, or substitute this for this, or whatever it might be, just more informative. And now you've also established as an expert. So, we talked about the characters, how to get that to show up. Is there too much? Is there too frequent of blog posts? Can you overdo it?
Yep, if you're just filling out content that, or just throwing content up there to throw it up there, but you're not writing to help the reader out. So if you're just throwing up a bunch of pages, not much text on it, and just really throwing up there just to try to rank for all these different, like that flower example, putting up every different species of flowers and putting like two sentences about that. Not a good user experience. But if you spend the time and really build those pages out and make it for the reader, as long as you think it offers value, then that's what Google wants to see. But you're just throwing stuff up there just to get a bunch of extra pages up there. And if it's duplicate content, Google doesn't want that either. So if you copy content from one page to another, those types of things would get Google to, instead of ranking you higher, drop you down, penalize you, which is the last thing we want to happen to anybody's website.
So what things can you do to get penalized by Google? I think that's interesting.
Just anything that you're tricking Google. So anywhere that you're trying to trick Google and being malicious or like hiding stuff. that's where Google will penalize you. So anything that seems like, huh, should I really be hiding in font size 0.001 at the very bottom of my page in white font because I have a white background and putting all these keywords in there? Probably not a good
Yeah, because
idea.
I have heard that with, social media algorithms too. People will put they'll put text behind a photo or something like that. And I don't know if it really works or if it doesn't, but trending words, whatever. I have found just staying authentic. People can tell when ChatGPT is writing a summary. And, I will admit we use AI for the summaries of my podcast episodes. My podcast producer, she manually goes through, she's amazing. She goes through manually edits out all the ahs, whatever of these exact episodes, but then she uses a tool to summarize the blog post, but then she always goes through and makes sure that it's correct. I think she uses a software like Riverside or something like that. And it's so funny because when I started my podcast a couple of years ago, I knew that the blogs were important for SEO. I knew that having that episode description, but I didn't know that there was a software available for doing this. And a couple of years ago, there really wasn't. And so I would play the audio recording. This is so embarrassing to say it, but this is just proof that everyone starts somewhere, right? I now have, a top-ranking gardening podcast. I now have, these online courses, whatever, but there was a lot of scrappy figuring it out. And I would hit play on the raw audio file and I would take my iPad and I would open up a Google, I'm embarrassed to share this. I would open up a Google Doc and I would turn on the microphone. So then from my phone or whatever the audio file, now I would have a written transcription of that, of the whole episode. And then I would go through and like change it to type it out as a blog post. And then I paid someone, like you said, to just turn that episode into a blog post, right? And just, write it and do it. But now we have these tools at our disposal, but you have to be careful because people can tell when it's written by a robot and they don't want to read it, nor do I want to put out that content.
No, we got to edit AI content. Can't just
Yep.
copy it
You
verbatim.
cannot copy and paste. You cannot copy and paste. Yeah. So you talked about, Google keyword. How did you word that? Google keyword search or Google keyword planner? Where do you find that? How do you do that?
I would just Google the Google
Google,
Keyword
Google.
Planner.
That,
Yep.
that,
And
just Google it. Google keyword planner.
then that will get you a tool that will let you put keywords in there. And then you can see how many people actually search for that keyword every single month. So then you can figure out, should I use synonyms or singulars or plurals or some other word that I've never heard of that's going to get me more traffic? But keyword research is one of the most important things that a lot of people just skip over because they think it's complicated or takes too much time, but it doesn't take too much time. It only takes a few minutes to, I mean, depending on how deep you want to go into it, but if you're just at least trying to just figure out, should I use a singular, should I use a plural? It doesn't take that long. That could really increase your traffic significantly. I mean, like you could get 10 times more traffic just by changing one letter around. So taking that time to really research it. The Google Keyword Planner is more for Google. If you're on YouTube, there's other, or whatever platform you're on, each one's different. So people aren't going to search the same on YouTube as they search on Yelp or Amazon or Bing. They're all going to be slightly different. So there's different tools out there, but Google really just dominates. So that one is a great tool as a starting point. There's other paid tools if you want to buy tools like Moz or Semrush or Ahrefs are some of the more popular paid tools. But the Google Keyword Planner, it's free and it's from Google and can't really beat that.
Yeah, exactly. And that's where people are going. So my question next is, tell me my blind spots or if this makes sense. Like if my plan is, the month of April, all right, I've got 15 to 20, very, very relevant, the people that are on my website, what they're looking for, the blog post, making it 500-ish words, finding the right keywords. And then if I create a video on YouTube, basically explaining it like, hi, welcome. Here's, more frequently asked questions. If you have a question, fill it out. Is there, and using the proper keywords on that video description, and then I would embed it on my website. Is there a length of that video that would be helpful, or is there a point where it'd be hurtful for everything to also have a video or people leaving my website to now go to YouTube? Is it okay if it's on there, or does it seem like a good idea?
I would embed the video. So I would take the video from YouTube and embed it on your website. That way, people stay on your website, they're reading the blog, and that video's in your blog post, and they could just click play. All those views get attributed back to your YouTube channel. So if you get 1,000 views from your blog, that's 1,000 views that go to YouTube and are really going to help with their YouTube's algorithm. And also, the more places that you embed your YouTube video, the higher you're going to be able to rank on YouTube, because YouTube is great, but it's just like a website. They don't really trust anything that anybody puts out there, and they want you to build trust. And trust comes through third-party signals. A big one is building backlinks and getting other websites to mention you. The more websites that have clickable links that point to your website, the higher your website's going to rank. You could also do that to YouTube and build backlinks to YouTube by embedding that YouTube video on other websites, which is kind of difficult. You could definitely do it on your own website. Anyone that does have a website and a YouTube channel, if you're not embedding your YouTube videos on your website, that's just low-hanging fruit of an easy way to just help your website get more traffic, get your YouTube channel to rank higher, and it doesn't take that much time. And you've already spent the time making the video, which is usually the tough part. Marketing side, a lot of people will do some of it, but you gotta just spread the word and share it everywhere.
Yeah, my blog on for the podcast, I embed the Spotify link. I have that on there. We're working on, I know that I need to also put it on YouTube just for the search engine part of it, but baby steps, right? I mean, if I get a couple thousand listeners on Spotify and Apple every week, but I realize that a lot of people could find me on YouTube, but my listeners are, for the most part, they're busy moms. They're not watching anything, but they might be listening on YouTube or they might find it and then head over to a listening platform.
Yeah, you want to just put it out there everywhere, because you never know which one's going to get the most people finding you. But then you can figure out, all right, if everyone's really on Spotify, I should probably focus more on Spotify. But when you're putting your content out there using like Buzzsprout and tools like that, it'll get you on all the major podcasting platforms. Then you can put it up on YouTube, on Instagram, on Twitter, on LinkedIn, on Pinterest, and just putting it out everywhere, because you've never TikTok, you never know where your audience is going to be. And spreading the word is that, I mean, it takes time, but the tough part is recording a whole podcast episode. Getting it out there, it doesn't take too much time. And that's where, hey, you might find this new audience that's tapping into it that you're like, well, I never thought that people would be on YouTube watching it. But YouTube just recommends you and gives you that other way of just helping people discover your content.
So, where can people find you if they want to learn more about this? Because this was a very surface level of, I would call this episode identifying the problem, right? Now people are, oh, I need to do that. But how? Now they know that it's important, but where can they go to find you and learn a little bit more actionable steps to take?
So I create a special gift for everybody.
Oh,
If they
perfect.
go to my website at seooptimizers.com/gift, that's seooptimizers.com/gift. And they can find my contact information, but also classes that show step by step how to do a lot of stuff that we just talked about. I put up for free so they can watch that and see how to take action and implement a lot of things that will help them get that more traffic. And also, if they do have a website, I'm happy to check it out from an SEO point of view, and they could book some time on my calendar for free there as well.
Perfect. Sounds good. Yeah, I think it's one of those things that maybe we think it sounds simple. We think we can do it ourselves, whether it's, there's all these little pieces of our business, but then realize, hey, if I had someone, an expert, look at this rather than me messing around for 2 years and figuring it out and trying to do it on itself, like, okay, you know what? Why don't we just let's take a month to focus in on that and then start reaping those rewards sooner.
Yeah, it's a long process with SEO. You gotta just work at it, and over time it's gonna build up and build up, but you gotta be patient with it. It just takes time for Google or any of these platforms to trust you. But once they trust you, then you're gonna see that traffic just start coming in.
Well, thank you so much. Anything else that you want to add? Where can we find you on social media?
It'd be my name, Brandon Leibowitz, and I put that up all on that page too, the SEO
Perfect.
Optimizers gift page. But if they search YouTube my name or any of these platforms.
Perfect. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me on today.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Flower Farmer Forum. If you enjoyed today's show and want to dive deeper into the world of growing and selling cut flowers, be sure to check out our website. There you'll find every episode in written blog form, plus courses and one-to-one coaching options to help you on your flower farming journey. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Flower Farmer Forum and join our Facebook page to connect with other passionate listeners and flower enthusiasts. If you're local and want to see what we're up to, visit us at sunnymarymeadow.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at Sunny Mary Meadow for my flower farm. We'd love your support. Please leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with a friend who might find it fantastic. Until next time, keep growing, keep blooming, and keep making your flower farm dreams a reality.
Flowers, flowers, we love flowers. Sunny Mary Meadow, they smell so good. SunnyMaryMeadow.com.